Prince School District is the latest in BC to require proof of vaccination from staff. This comes during a week when protesters who say they're against the trucking industry's vaccine mandate are in the news. So how common will these kinds of mandates become, and how successful is opposition likely to be? For an update on the legal landscape, we have reached employment lawyer Dan Balkaran. Dan, hello there.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Thanks for your time here. Let's start with the trucking industry mandate. That is certainly front and center right now. I've been in the news. So now that this requirement is in place, how likely are we to see Ottawa backtrack on it? Or even if they did, I know there are issues with the U.S., but what are you watching?
Well, I mean, that's a political question that I can't really answer. I mean, it depends, I guess, on the degree of political opposition and whether, I mean, this is the first time that I've seen that there's actual concerted political opposition to vaccine mandates. So that might tell you if the underlying state of public opinion is shifting. But I don't know the answer to that question.
I see. Okay. Do the truckers have any legal recourse here?
So maybe it's important for your listeners to understand what the vaccine mandates are, and then I'll tackle that question if that works for you. So if you lose your job, your only legal right is severance. And severance can, it's sort of like a safety net that we've evolved over time. And severance can be, it can be quite substantial. You know, it might be, if you've been a long service employee, it can be up to 24 months, you know, at your regular wage. So it can be quite a bit. What a vaccine mandate does is it says employee who is captured by the mandate, you lose your job effectively and your right to severance is extinguished. So you have employees who overnight lose their job and lose their right to severance and in fact don't also get EI, per government direction. And so they're sort of instantaneously destitute in some ways. So that's what those vaccine mandates actually do. Sorry, I missed, what was the first part of your question?
No, I was saying, do the truckers have any recourse here?
So that was the second point I was going to say. So the truckers don't have any recourse against the employers themselves. Mm-hmm. The employers they don't have any choice in the matter. The government has effectively put a gun to their head and said, you can't employ these people anymore. The truckers' recourse would be to issue charter challenges to say that, well, the government has violated their rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and therefore they can go through the court system. There are a number of challenges in working their way through the system right now, I understand, and will eventually work their way up to the Supreme Court of Canada challenging those vaccine mandates. But it's not for everyone to bring a charter challenge, we'll just say that.
Well, we are seeing more mandates put into place by school districts in BC this month. So what other sectors do you anticipate are going to be looking into vaccine requirements?
Sure. Well, I mean, at first, the vaccine requirements were rationally connected to safety. You know, so it was in BC, it was retirement homes, and it was healthcare workers. And what we've seen across Canada is an expansion of that, you know, where you've got, can't get on a flight now without being vaccinated. You've got, in Quebec, you can't go to the liquor store without being vaccinated. And so whether or not those are actually legal, you know, it's hard for me to see that those will be legal when those go to the Supreme Court of Canada, because they're not rationally connected to safety in the same way that say the mandates for healthcare workers are. But in terms of the expansion question, how much will it expand? I mean, that would, I guess, be tied to the medicals. If COVID continues to overwhelm hospitals, then I can imagine politicians need to cater to that, and they will continue to expand the mandates. So it depends entirely on what the virus is doing, I would imagine.
Okay. And what are you hearing from clients who are weighing their options right now in the face of a mandate in terms of their options?
Well, so a mandate from the government, they really don't have any options. Their options are extinguished by the government. Their only real option at that point would be to contact their MP or MLA, depending on the jurisdiction, and voice their opposition. The truckers are exercising their option to protest. But if the government extinguishes your right to severance and the government extinguishes your right to work in a job through a government mandate, there's not a whole lot you can do. But if an employer, absent a mandate, and this is happening quite a bit, decides to implement a vaccine policy, a mandatory vaccine policy, you know, and if you're not vaccinated, you get terminated, you lose your job. That doesn't extinguish your right to severance, and in most cases, you will have a right to severance tailored to your specific legal position.
I see. Well, in terms of the legal challenges that are already underway, which sectors are they coming from? How do they look?
I'm not familiar with how those challenges are doing, but I would imagine that across Canada, so you've got different mandates that are both federal, depending on the jurisdiction, and provincial, and I imagine a lot of them are going to be challenged. There are organizations that are bringing those challenges and will put sympathetic plaintiffs before the court, and some of them will make their way up to the Supreme Court of Canada, and in due course, in a year, year and a half, or something like that, we're going to get a decision from the Supreme Court of Canada on whether or not you know, specific mandates are in fact legal or not. And you know, I get asked all the time, well, do you think these mandates are in fact legal or are they illegal? And I think that, you know, I think there's no question that they on their face violate the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The question is whether or not, despite doing that, they can be permitted to stand because effectively we're in an emergency. You know, do the ends justify the means? And I've been of the opinion for quite some time, and certainly, you know, different lawyers say different things, but I've been of the opinion that will depend largely on how the pandemic goes. If the pandemic is if people are dying in the streets from the pandemic, you know, in a year and a half when these questions get before the Supreme Court of Canada, chances are they're probably going to be upheld as legal. But if it declines, if the pandemic, the COVID-19 virus declines to the level of, you know, a severe flu, then I suspect they're going to be illegal.
Right. Yeah, and when you stand back from all of this right now, Dan, and you just look at the stage we're in right now of this pandemic, do you think there's going to be a greater appetite or a waning appetite for more of these workplace mandates for the public?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's going to be, dependent entirely on what the next waves are and how the pandemic is doing. I can say, you know, anecdotally, I being an employment lawyer in British Columbia, I get to talk to people all over the province. I talk to people not just in Vancouver, although, you know, a large portion of my clients are in Vancouver, but I talk to people in Bella Bella and Prince Rupert and Kelowna and Vernon and so forth. And there seems to be, and the common denominator amongst them is they've lost their jobs, but there seems to be amongst, not in Vancouver, but outside of Vancouver, there seems to be sort of a general movement away from being happy with mandates to enforce vaccine compliance. We'll just say that's just from talking to clients, but that's an unscientific non-poll. We'll say.
Right. That's a crystal ball, and we take that all with a grain of salt for sure. Hey, it's great to be able to check in with you at this stage of things. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
That is Dan Balcarin, an employment lawyer with Samfiru Tumarkin in Vancouver.